Good morning to you all. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I always look forward to this time of worship. Song service was a blessing to me. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and worship you. Just thank you for the many blessings we have. Thank you for the freedom that we have to gather in this way. Pray you'd be with me as I share these few thoughts I have. For you to bless my tongue. For you to comb my heart. And pray you could you could just use me whatever way you can. Just pray this all in your name. Amen. So this morning, for our text, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, just the Beatitudes there. I'd like to read them and then go down through them and expound on each one a little bit. Won't be in any way an extensive study, but just touch on each one a little bit. And hopefully you all can get something out of it. I know it was a blessing in my life to go down through each one and look into it a little bit. It was a blessing for me, and hopefully you all can get something from it. So let's just read here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I'll stop reading there. So this is the beginning there of the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitudes. So the first one here is, Blessed are the poor in spirit. It means to be lowly. Poor in spirit means to be lowly in oneself, in one's self-estimate. To be humble, not high-minded. Just to be humble is what poor in spirit. I had to ask myself, what do others see in my life? And I know in my life, pride can be very sly. It can sneak in without us even knowing it. It can... In Proverbs 16:5 says, Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So we see that pride is a serious thing to the Lord. He doesn't take pride lightly. It says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We see that he will punish the proud. What are some evidences of pride in my life? Am I constantly wondering what people think of me? Or very easily offended, or when others are, when others prosper, do I wish it was me instead of them? There are some evidences that I can watch for in my life. See if there's pride in my life. Then it says, the poor in spirit says theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a promise that is. Next one is, Blessed are they that mourn. To mourn is to be sorrowful about something or someone. Do I mourn for the wickedness that is everywhere in this world today? Or do I just get used to it and think it's normal? Or do I see the wickedness and mourn for the wickedness that's in the world? Or it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. To comfort is to strengthen, to invigorate, to cheer, or to enliven. David says in Psalms 30, verse 11, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Here David testifies how the Lord will comfort those that mourn. We see that the Lord will. David had a firsthand experience that the Lord comforted him. The next one is verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To be meek is to be mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielded, not given to forbearance under injuries. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Jesus is our perfect example of a meek and lowly man that walked on this earth. He was meek in all his ways and lowly. He tells us to learn of him. And how can I learn of him? We can learn of him by studying the Word of God that we have here with us. There's so much to learn. We also know that in Numbers there it says that Moses was the meekest man that walked the face of the earth. And it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. It's another beautiful promise. I'd like to read Isaiah 61, verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I thought that summed up the verses pretty good. The next verse here in verse 6, it tells us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He tells us that he will fill us with righteousness if we hunger and thirst for it. Luke 1:53 says, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. If we hunger, he will fill us. But if we believe we are rich and have need of nothing, he will send us away empty. Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness in my life, or am I satisfied with where I'm at? If I'm satisfied, if I'm okay with where I'm at in my life, why, I'll never be able to grow. I want to my life continue to reach for higher ground. If we desire to grow, he promises to fill us. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If I do not show mercy, so the opposite of this, if I do not show mercy, neither will I receive it. If I hold grudges against people and cannot forgive, neither will God forgive me. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. And we read the parable of the man that was forgiven much, then would not forgive someone that owed him little. And often when I read that, I think, how foolish is that man? You know, he was forgiven so much, and he couldn't forgive someone that owed him so little. But it's the same way for us. If we can't forgive someone, we've been forgiven so much. How could we not forgive someone? So blessed are the merciful, for they shall get mercy. In verse 8 it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When I think of pure, I think of a glass of clean, clear water that's you can see all the way through it. It's completely transparent. Is my life transparent, or do I have things to hide? Am I trying to hide things, trying to cover things up, or can people see in my life, and am I transparent? Titus 1:15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. He says that the pure in heart shall see God. What a wonderful day that will be when we to see God. I want to strive in my life to live a pure life. And in verse 9 it says, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemaker is one who makes peace. Everyone likes to be around those kind of people, the people that make peace. Proverbs said, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, we can do so much to be a peacemaker. It can be such a blessing. I know when I'm around somebody that is a peacemaker, it can be a blessing. So I want to read James 3:16 through 18. James 3:16 through 18. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. We see here that the opposite of peace is envying and strife. Where envying and strife is, there is every evil work. It takes effort to be a peacemaker. It won't just happen without our effort. I want to make more of an effort in my life to be more of a peacemaker. Peacemakers shall be called the children of God. What a privilege and a blessing it is to be called the children of God. Blessed are they, here in verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here in America, we don't really have what we would call persecution. But it says that those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Can I stay true to Him whatever comes? It says, 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Let's stay true to Him whatever comes. The last one here, verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. To be reviled is when someone treats you with contemptuous or scornful language. Then it says, persecute and say all manner against you falsely. The last one there, say all manner against you falsely, that's probably the one that... that is the most difficult, maybe for me, you might say. You know, if someone says something wrong, bad about you that's false, it's so easy to, the hardest thing to do is to say nothing. It's so easy to, I want to speak up and try to tell my side of the story, but what did Jesus do when he was falsely accused? It says he opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 2:23 says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. For me, I can be quick to talk back and tell my side of the story, but it is better to understand than to be understood. The natural thing to do is to try to be understood. But it's always better to understand than to be understood. In the last verse there, verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." It says, "Great is our reward in heaven." 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." We have a reason to rejoice and be exceeding glad. We have a great reward in heaven. And it says, "For so persecuted the prophets before you." There have been many persecuted before us. Let's stay true to Him, do not deny Christ. I think that's about all I have. It was a blessing in my life to look through these and read them and study them out a little bit. I hope you all could get something from it. I know I did. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. God bless.